Ramsey TV.
Hey everybody, I hope I don't look like I'm sweating too badly here. This is Martin Zender, welcome to MZTV. I'm in Galatians chapter 5. I'm looking into sins that will keep members of the body of Christ from having an allotment in the kingdom of God. This is good news, not bad news. I'm going to tell you specifically why tomorrow. Today I'm going to get into a topic that's pretty ticklish, but I want you to revel in it, and that is the people who have hurt you, people who have been difficult to live with, people who are just really irritating people and factious people, people full of strife, people full of envy, people full of fury. They're going to get theirs, whether it's at the dais of Christ or the great white throne. We don't often think this way, but this is why I told you yesterday that when I read this passage with new eyes, I was very happy about it. I'm going to explain that metamorphosis to you here on MZTV. I'm Martin Zender, and welcome to the show. The conference, of course, coming up September 15th, 16th, and 17th. September 1st is the deadline to get your name in to RSVP. There's a woman to contact for that. I'm going to put her name up here and how you can contact her. I'm not sure, but this might be the catering person. If you don't RSVP, it's okay. You can get into the conference. Now, look, I checked in the area and there are Motel 6 establishments. There's Super 8 establishments. You can come to this conference up until the conference day. As I said, Des Moines, Iowa, this is the most centrally located conference there has ever been. Probably within driving distance of 6 states. And so just come to the conference. You can stay inexpensively. Like I said, you don't have to stay at the hotel where the conference is. You can talk, if you have to stay at a Motel 6, maybe 5 miles away, you can talk to somebody at the conference to come pick you up, give you a ride in. Members of the body of Christ are some of the most generous people you ever want to meet. And so you don't want to miss this conference. Get this. Wes told me that they have 60 RSVPs. Now, 60. This is going to be an event. And you don't want to miss it. So even if you don't make the September 1st deadline for the catering, forget it. Cater yourself. I'm sure there'll be plenty of food anyway. Nobody's going to go hungry at this conference, believe me. But the most important food is going to be the food of the Spirit. And I would really love to meet you at this conference. Like I say, it's going to be an event. And I think this is the same weekend of one of the Israel feasts. What is it? Rosh Hashanah. So, I don't know if that has any relevance at all. Just thought I'd mention it. I want to say one more thing. There's a woman who would really love to come to the conference, but is in a financial strait right now. And so if there's any woman who has a room at the hotel where the conference is being held. All the information, by the way, is on my website, martinzender.com. There's a pink box. Hit that box. You'll get all the information you could possibly need on the conference. There's a meet and greet Friday night, September 15th at 7 o'clock, I think it is, in one of the hotel rooms. Check it out. Find out where it is. And show up. Boy, would I love to meet you. But if there's a woman who has a room and is willing to share a room, this person did not ask me to do this. This is all me. This is my initiative. If you're willing to share a room, then that would be great. Let me know. Just put it down in the comments. I'd like to share a room. I'm willing to share a room with a female member of the body of Christ, a mother of four, a wife and a mother of four. Top-notch person. You'll probably form a friendship for life, I imagine, if you invite this person to stay with you. So again, this is all me. She didn't put me up to this. But yeah, I'm looking at Super 8, $61. There's one for $55. You got your Motel 6s for $65, $70. You don't have to stay at the hotel where the conference is, all right? So let's get this. Let's get as many people as we can to this thing, just because it's good to be together. And if you've never been to a conference, you can't imagine the thrill of being with so many people who believe the same things you do. It's really a remarkable experience. I've been to hundreds of them, and I never get tired of it. So in Galatians 5, before I launch into these sins again, I have to start with three verses, and that's verses 16, 17, and 18. Paul is purposely saying what he's saying in 16, 17, and 18, before he gets to verse 19, when he says, apparent are the works of the flesh. Because as I told you yesterday, Paul doesn't want anybody striving. He doesn't want anybody striving in a negative way. He doesn't want anyone worrying. He doesn't want anyone obsessing over their sins or trying to fix their flesh. Like I told you yesterday, you can't directly deal with the flesh anyway. You can't. It's too strong. It's too powerful. The only way to deal with it, and you'll never hear this advice in any church anywhere, the best way to deal with the flesh is to ignore it. Ignore it. And be occupied instead with the things of the Spirit, with what God says concerning you. So in verse 16, Paul says, now I'm saying walk in spirit, covered this yesterday, and you should under no circumstances be consummating the lust of the flesh. We cannot do this all the time, but in the measure we can do it, it works. And you can't add sins to this list. That's illicit. If you do that, then you're doing what the Pharisees did. They added sins, their own little problems, their own little peccadilloes, their own little issues. They wanted their issues to be other people's issues. This is especially the case with sexual issues, porn especially, and alcohol. I'm going to talk about alcohol. I think I'm going to dedicate the whole show tomorrow to alcohol and pornography. That'll bring them out of the woodwork, just because Christianity has made pornography the new enemy. It's the greatest distraction ever. Satan has caused the Christian religion to go after a false enemy. In the meantime, slipping in the worst enemy of God in Christ, the doctrine of eternal torment, through their midst. It's one of the greatest deceptions Satan has ever worked on a large group of people, that is having Christians think that pornography is the worst thing in the world. I don't see anything about it in this list. That's weird. Okay, now, I think tomorrow, I'm going to give you the best advice tomorrow you ever heard on drinking. And I'm going to tell you the only thing that I think, if you have a drinking problem, if you're an alcoholic, I'm going to share two things with you tomorrow, and I think they're the only things that will work. To be honest with you. As you know, I believe most addictions are fueled by religious prohibition. It's the thou shalt not principle. It's the Romans chapter 7 principle. So right away there in verse 16, Paul does not want you walking according to flesh. And again, walking according to flesh is not sinning like crazy. It's paying attention to your body. Now, verse 17, this is an amazing verse. For the flesh is lusting against the spirit, yet the spirit against the flesh. Yes, the spirit of God lusts. Lust just means desire. And it was translated desire other places in the concordant version. Why they didn't translate this one Greek word one way, I don't understand. But they didn't. For the flesh is lusting against the spirit, yet the spirit against the flesh. Now, these are opposing one another, flesh and spirit. In you right now are opposing one another, lest you should be doing whatever you may want. Most people see this verse and they say, oh, well, that means that the Spirit of God is working in me, causing me not to be able to do everything I want in the flesh. That is, the Spirit of God works in me and causes me to not do sins. That's true. But the reverse is also true. The flesh is purposely in there to keep you doing whatever good things you want to do. You'll never hear this truth in church. It's the flawed by design principle. By the way, I wrote a book by that title. You can find it at my website, martinzender.com. The flesh and the spirit are lusting against one another. And these, according to Paul, verse 17, these are opposing one another. Lest you should be doing whatever you may want. Wouldn't you love just not to sin anymore? To keep you from that. The flesh is there to lust after the spirit. Yeah, to keep you from doing all the good things you want. Because it's not time for you to do all the good things that you want. Likewise, the spirit lusts against the flesh that keeps you from doing all the bad things that you want. But you can't have one of these things without the other. Paul's prefacing his list of sins with that. First, I want you to be led by the spirit. That is to ignore the flesh. Ignore the flesh. That's his That's Paul's first piece of advice before listing the works of the flesh. 18. Now, if you're led by spirit, you're not still under law. And the Galatians were in the body of Christ, so they are being led by the Spirit of God, and they're not under law. Paul needs to say this because it's very tempting when you get down to verse 19 when Paul talks about adultery, prostitution, uncleanness, wantonness, idolatry. You see, people dealt with that stuff under the law. So this is the perfect thing for Paul to say right before he launches. You are not under law. Now let's talk about the works of the flesh. But you're not under law. You know, it would be nice if Paul said that after every single word. Apparent are the works of the flesh. Adultery, you're not under law. Prostitution, you're not under law. Uncleanness, you're not under law. Wantonness, you're not under law. Envies, you're not under law. Strife, furies, factions, you're not under law. Drunkenness, you're not under law. Murders, you're not under law. And you know what else I wish he had put? But see, he can't do that. It's too much. It's too wordy. He could also have put there, you are led by the Spirit. Or let's say this, walk in spirit. Works of the flesh is, one of the works of the flesh is jealousies, walk in spirit. Furies, walk in spirit. Factions, walk in spirit. What does that mean? Ignore it. Ignore the sin. But you can't just ignore the sin and be occupied with nothing. You have to fill that void with something. And it is being occupied by the Spirit. How am I occupied by the Spirit, Martin? What do I have to do? Start chanting? Do I have to meditate? Do I have to get into a dark room? Does the lighting have to be a certain way? How do I be occupied with the Spirit? Read the Scriptures. Read Paul's letters, especially Romans. That's occupied with the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God wrote that stuff. God wrote it. The Spirit is God's activity, God's action. Walk in spirit. Oh, does that mean you sing a bunch of Christian songs? No. It doesn't. It means you study God's word, especially Paul's letters, Romans 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And find out what God has to say about you. Find out what God thinks of you. He loves you. You're justified. He's conciliated to you. And you're justified by faith in God's words, not by works of law. So now we can get into these sins. Now I'm going to divide these sins into a couple sections. I believe that three of these have to do with teaching within the body of Christ. And I'm going to deal with this on Friday. And that would be, in verse 20, factions, dissensions, and sects. Factions, dissensions, and sects. Oh my. Going to deal with that on Friday. These are things that we have experienced ourselves recently in the body of Christ. Is there a difference between those who teach these sects that have come into the body of Christ? What is the standard by which we decide whether a certain teaching is a dissension from the truth? What is a dissension? What is technically a faction? What is a sect? And what is the standard When does a bad teaching turn into a dissension and a sect? And are the people who believe the thing liable for missing out on an allotment? Or is it just the people teaching it? I've been thinking about this constantly the last few days. I'm going to talk about that on Friday, which will give me another couple days to think about it. One more day? Two days? I'll take it. So what I want to deal with today is, we've already done these other things, idolatry, prostitution, uncleanness, wantonness. I'm going to deal with these, what we would consider common sins of the flesh. Enmity, strife, jealousy, furies, envies, murders. Not too many murderers out there. That's its own category. Drunkenness and revelries. Now, the reason I got excited about this is because, well, let me tell you something about myself. I am not one who walks around with a victim mentality. People have done me wrong. I've been hurt by certain people. But I don't walk around blaming people for my problems. Now, a guy who's in a war, let's say, and gets his leg shot off during a war, he's going to walk with a limp for the rest of his life. But if he's smart, he's not going to, you know, damn Afghanis, damn Iranians. He's not going to cuss the enemy his whole life. That's just the way it is. He's got a limp. He was damaged, but he's going to do his best. He's going to get up, pick himself up, live another day, not live with this dark revenge attitude against the enemies that did it to him. This hypothetical person would be well to rest in the sovereignty of God. And just because you walk with a limp for the rest of your life, I have emotional limps. I walk with emotional limps, and I'll do that for the rest of my life. I'm damaged because of things that happened to me, not in childhood. No, thank God. I had the most perfect childhood anyone can imagine, but later in life. But I don't sit around blaming people. Until now. Because according to Paul, people whose thing is enmity, whose thing is strife, whose thing is jealousy, who are basically furious people. I can put dissensions in here too with the normal group of sins, people who are constantly dissenting, constantly disagreeing with you. People who are envious of other people and live their life angry because they don't have what everybody else has. Do you know people like that? Maybe at work, or maybe you live with one? If they're in the body of Christ, and if they are this way, they will not be enjoying an allotment. Paul says, I am predicting to you, according as I predicted also, that those committing such things, committing, this is ongoing. This is the incomplete verb form. Paul doesn't say those who have committed these things. We've all committed some of these things at one time or another. Paul's talking here about those committing such things. Again, incomplete verb form, it is ongoing. Shall not be enjoying the allotment of the kingdom of God. Now, Paul here is talking about members of the body of Christ. But in verse 19, he says, apparent are the works of the flesh. Now, we know that those who are not believers, those who are not in the body of Christ or part of the Israel gospel, they will appear at the great white throne and they'll be judged according to their acts. I don't think it's a stretch to say that these sins will also be applied to those being judged according to their acts at the great white throne. There, at the great white throne, for the unbelievers, what is at stake is being written in the book of life or not being written in the book of life, going to the lake of fire, which is the second death, or going to the new earth to enjoy Eon 5 on the new earth. There's a big difference between going to the second death and the new earth. And it all depends on the judgment when the book of life is opened and those at the great white throne are judged in accord with their acts. Faith is not the issue. These people never believed in God. So the issue is not faith. It is what they have done in the flesh. Were they always at enmity? Were they causing strife wherever they go? Were they jealous of other people? Were they furious people? Were they factious people? Were they causing dissensions wherever they go? Breaking people apart, causing strife, making trouble. Well, see you at the consummation. Because off you go to the second death. These people are still saved because Christ died for their sins. And see, we're so hesitant to acknowledge these differences. And we have ignored, I'll speak for myself too, I've ignored these passages of Paul concerning the allotment and these groups of sins. I get irritated at Paul. Like, why are you mentioning this? You're the grace guy. Why are you talking about all these sins? Irritated me. He keeps doing it though. He even does it in Ephesians chapter 5. We expect him to do it in 1 Corinthians and maybe here in Galatians, but Ephesians talks about those sins. And he is expanding it here. Now, it seems wrong to want to see people who have done wrong to you get justice. And there's the thing where sometimes the salvation of all, we love the salvation of all. I love it. I love that everybody is saved, even my enemies. I love that my enemies are saved. I love that they're going to see the light of day at the end and they're going to appreciate God and appreciate Christ. I revel in that. I don't want anyone to suffer. But I'm reading scripture here. And in the body of Christ, missing out of an allotment is not, for the members of the body of Christ, this is not suffering. You just don't get it. However, at the great white throne, for the rest of humanity, and most of the people we know are not believers, there is suffering there. They're facing judgment. We do not come into judgment. At the dais of Christ, we are requited for our good acts, and we forfeit our bad acts. And those are scriptural words I just used there, requite and forfeit. Paul uses those words in 2 Corinthians. So, but the great white throne is a different story. I'm just going to give you one story. There's a lady I knew. I'm not going to mention her name, but it was Edith. That's her name, Edith. And she ticks every box. Every box this woman ticks. Let me explain. Let me tell you what happened. She's a perfect example of somebody who will not have an allotment. She's a believer, I think. I brought her the evangel. Let me tell you how she thanked me for it. It was 2013. I was living in Pennsylvania. I was facing a late spring. I think spring doesn't come to Winburg, Pennsylvania until about July. The 4th of July, you know, the snow starts to melt along the road. So I wanted to go down to Florida. I knew people down here, and I was planning on spending maybe 2 months down here doing my show. Ended up doing my show at Davey College. A wonderful believer named Kate Horn. And she arranged for me to stay with certain people. I also knew a woman named Mary. And she introduced me to someone named Edith. In fact, I heard from Mary that Edith had come to believe in the evangel, the grace of God, because of my writings, my book. I forget what book she got, but it introduced her to the evangel and she became a believer. Before I go any further into this story, because it's going to get a little dark, and I have to tell you something. I'm not a vindictive person. I just prefer to walk away from conflicts. I don't like conflicts. Which might seem strange to you because I'm very strong in these videos and in my writing. I'm strong against religious hypocrisy. I hate when people lie about God. And so I get pretty riled up about that. I get pretty passionate about that. That's one thing. But if you've ever met me in person, you know that I just as soon walk away from conflict. I just as soon not bother people. I just as soon get along with people. I'm a peacemaker. If you want to know me, just go look up Libra Man. That's me. That's me. I'm an idealist. I'm a romantic. I'm a peacemaker. I'm also a procrastinator. Yeah, that's part of that. Comes with a package. So I love getting along with other people. I don't see why people need to get so upset all the time with other people. And I've told you many times, I get upset when I'm behind the wheel. I get upset when I'm running. I'm looking at things. But if I ever get with someone, face to face with someone, I'm a different person. Because there's a human contact. And I like peace. Other people don't. Other people don't. So let me, before I go any further into the story, I want to go to, I meant to do this before I launched into my Florida adventure of 2013. I'm going to go to 2 Timothy 4. This is our apostle. This is the last chapter he ever wrote to the world. The last words he doesn't write in chapters. These are the last words of this apostle that he ever shared with the human race. And I'm going to go to start with verse 10. For Demas, this guy, not afraid to name names. Demas, loving the current aeon, forsook me and went to Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. He's not happy with these people. But then he gets down to verse 14. This book, this letter to 2 Timothy ends in verse 22. So we're very close to the end. Paul has a great opportunity to go out on a grace note. This is the man of grace. This is Mr. Grace. This is Mr. Transcendent Grace. And listen to what he says in verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith displayed to me much evil. The Lord will be paying him in accord with his acts, whom you also guard against, for very much has he withstood words of ours. Was this guy a believer? It's hard to say. I tend to think he was a feigned believer. But the remarkable thing here is that Paul is holding a freaking grudge. Paul remembers this guy. Alexander the coppersmith displayed to me. Listen to what this guy did to me. Paul, go out on a grace note, Paul. These are the last words you're ever going to write. Have a nice ending here. Tie it up with a red bow. You know that bastard Alexander the coppersmith? That son of a gun. Let me tell you what he did. He displayed to me much evil. He was eviling. He was committing evil constantly. Not one careless, thoughtless act, but this guy continually made evil for Paul. And Paul says, thank God he's saved. I know he's saved. And he's going to come into the fullness of the Christ life. No, Paul doesn't say that. Thank God that Alexander the coppersmith is part of the all in all, which I wrote about in 1 Corinthians. No, Paul doesn't say that. Because he's Mr. Relative. You know what he says? The Lord will be paying him in accord with his acts. In other words, God's going to get that son of a bitch. God's going to get him. This is our apostle Paul. Hey, then I started to scratch my head. It's good enough for Paul. It's good enough for me. The guy must not have been a Libra. I'm thinking he was probably a Capricorn. We'll find out when we meet him. Anyway. So, Mary introduced me to Edith, who introduced me to this elderly woman. And I can't think of her name. I wish I could. She was from Puerto Rico, I believe. So, I'm just going to call her Rico. These women were lesbians. And I say Rico was probably 80 years old. And Rico had a relationship with Edith. And it was arranged for me to pay Rico, I think, $200 a week to stay in a room in Rico's apartment in Sunrise, Florida. I was really happy for that. And so I really came to like Rico. Rico, probably 80 years old, I'm thinking. Really sweet lady. Rico had cancer. And so I would drive Rico to her cancer treatments, bring her home. We would eat together. We would go grocery shopping together. We would sit out on the patio together. Now, Rico and Edith did not live together. Well, one day, after I brought Rico home from her cancer treatment, she was curled up on the sofa in the fetal position. She was really in pain. And I was trying to comfort her and talk to her, and it looked like she was getting tired. And I said, Rico, would you mind if I just had a cigar out on the patio? She said, Martin, no, that's fine, Martin. You just go out. She kind of talked like the, at least in my mind, in my memory, she talked like the Jewish lady, the imitation I always do. But this is how I remember her. No, Martin, you go out. You go out and have a nice time. Are you going to be okay? I'm fine. I just need to be alone. Okay. So I'm getting my gear ready and unwrapping my cigar, getting the lighter. And she says, you know what, Martin? Do you mind if I join you for that cigar? I got two. Come on out. I'd love it. So me and Rico went out on the porch. And I took a picture. Here's the picture of Rico and me. Let me tell you something. Her pain went away. She ended up, I lit up that freaking cigar for her, and to see her smoking that cigar was the best. And you know what she said to me? Martin, you're like a son to me. You're like a son to me. Well, where does this story turn bad, you might ask? Oh, well, here's where it turns bad. Edith found out that I was becoming like a son to Rico. Edith, who days before loved me, I was the most marvelous person in the world. I brought her the evangel, but suddenly, in her mind, I was moving in on her territory. What was Edith in the thing for? You can take a guess as good as I can. Suddenly I was becoming like a son to her lover. And I'm sure that Rico, in her innocence, said this. In fact, when we were on the patio, she said, I can't wait to send this photo to Edith. Oh boy. A few nights later, I got a call. It was Edith. She said the most hateful things that really anyone's ever said to me. Nobody likes you. You're an evil person. You need to leave. Nobody wants you here. Just on and on it went. She ticks all the boxes. Enmity. The Greek elements of enmity are have ruin. She wanted my ruin. Strife, angry or bitter disagreement, conflict. She created strife. Jealousies, oh, big time. The English element for the Greek word jealousies, the Greek word is zelos. The element is boiling. Let me explain the difference to you between envy and jealousy. Envy requires only two people. Envy is ill will due to covetousness. You want what somebody else has and you hate them for having it. Jealousy requires three people. With jealousy, you do not want the object of your affection to find satisfaction from anyone or anything else besides yourself because you're completely selfish. And the love that you have for the object of your affection is a false love. It is only there to satisfy yourself because you're not out for the good of your supposed love object. You're out for your own good because you're not interested in the welfare of that person. Edith was not interested in the welfare of Rico. She was not happy that Rico had found a new friend, that Rico had found someone to take her to her doctor's appointments. Rico found somebody to smoke cigars with. What's next? And so she had to destroy me. Jealousy must destroy any source of happiness that comes to their supposed love object must be destroyed. Any love that comes outside of the jealous person must be destroyed. Fury. These are the words that are in here. Fury. Envy. Jealousy. Strife. Enmity. Faction. And she forbade Rico from ever talking to me. I was gone. I got up early one morning. I left Rico a note, left her some money on the counter. I had bought her a gift, and I was out the door. Never talked to any of them again. Never talked to any of them again. That woman is not going to get an allotment in the body of Christ. I can't imagine this was a one-time deal with her protecting her own happiness at the expense of someone else's. That's a condition. Willing to break up other people to cause strife in someone's life to protect your own world. I've seen that more than once. Some people will do anything to protect their own world. And anything that threatens it, they seek to destroy. There's where envy comes in. They will seek to destroy someone who has something that they don't have. Or if they feel threatened that some other thing will take away the object of their affection, they will destroy it. That's jealousy again. Jealousy has destroyed more relationships and more people than anything I can think of. It's akin to murder. Jealousy killed our Lord because he was taking away people from the Pharisees. Suddenly, some of the people were excited about this other teacher who was teaching things that they'd never heard before. He was out teaching them. He was, quote, winning souls, unquote. He was taking their people away. And they killed him out of jealousy. Jealousy is terrible. Jealous people do not deserve to have an allotment in the kingdom. And those who cause dissensions or those who cause strife, the people you're around that you just can't seem to please them, they're so self-obsessed. And they live to want other things that other people have. And they try to build a life to make it equal to the people next door. And they're obsessed with that. They can't see the good around them because of envy. And they become angry over it. And they cause strife and fury. And of course, in the wake of that, factions develop. This happens within the body of Christ. It happens outside of the body of Christ. It happens everywhere. Paul's mentioning these things because they're dirty things in humanity. They're dirty. And after I realize what Paul said to Alexander, and I go back to Galatians 5, and instead of saying, oh no, jealous people, furious people, factious people, people who cause dissensions, people who cause strife, people who are filled with enmity, oh, they don't get an allotment in the kingdom? Now I'm thinking, good, good. Nah, good, good. I still have grace in my heart? Of course, because they're saved. If they're in the body of Christ, they're in the body of Christ. If they're not in the body of Christ, they're still saved at the consummation at the latest. But in the meantime, these are hurtful things. These things destroy families, destroy marriages, destroy children, destroy lives. And they cause murder. Oh, he's envious. Envious is a deadly sin. Envy. Envy is deadly. Jealousy is even more deadly. Factions. I told you before about Mike and Denise Telep. Never talked to me. They never talked to me. They're pissed at me. And I don't know why. Fury is intense, disordered, and oftentimes destructive rage. They're enraged at me, and they never talk to me again. I brought the evangel to them, too. Yeah. What did I do? I don't know. They won't talk to me. Back in the day, I tried to call them again and again. I tried to call early in the morning to hope to get one of them to pick up, because I was mourning over that lost relationship. Mike Telep answers the phone. I remind you, I'm a magistrate. Oh, great. Hang up. Hey. What's up with that? That's ugly. Are we in the body of Christ? What the hell? How about a little peace? How about a little communication? How about a little understanding? How about a little conceding? I love to make concessions to get along with people. I won't concede the truth. But in a personal relationship, I'll do whatever I can. I don't know. I'm not talking myself up here. It's just like I seem to be the one that's freaking trying to mend things. Like I say, I'm a peacemaker. Like, why are you mad? What can I do? Can we talk about it? Let's talk about it. I have to talk about it in all my relationships. I got to talk about it before the sun goes down. You have to talk about it. I have to settle it. Can't stand to have this enmity. There it is. Enmity. If you don't talk about shit that's going on, you start to develop enmity against another person. Resentful. Resent. Oh, that's another bad thing. Why didn't Paul mention that? It's resent. Bitterness. That's another one. Jesus. Bitterness. I'm not saying I'm perfect or anything. I feel all these things. I feel jealousy. But you have to recognize it and then turn away from it. Everybody feels these things coming on. Oh, God, you feel the fury coming on. You feel the indignation for someone coming on. You feel the envy. You feel it coming on. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with feeling it because you're human. But then, because of this verse, do you want to have an allotment in the kingdom? I do. You turn away from it. You take a breath. Whew, that was scary. Oh, God, that's inside of me? Yeah, it's inside of you. Yeah. Murder is inside of you. You know that? Did you know that? Murder is inside of you. It's the grace of God keeping you from it. Yes, this is all the grace of God. Absolutely. It keeps you. But, you know, Paul's presenting it as if you do this stuff, if you're committing these things, if you're the one causing the problems in your relationship or among your friends, you're the one that can never be satisfied. You're the one that people have to walk on eggshells around. You're the one who doesn't want anyone to find any satisfaction unless it's from you, i.e. jealousy. You're the one who wants everything that everyone else has and won't be happy until you get it. Hey, if you're in the body of Christ, forget the allotment. But if you feel these things coming on, just walk away from it. Use this verse to do it. If you're not in the body of Christ, when you rise from the dead at the end of the 1,000 years and standing before God at the great white throne and the books are opened up, what do you like to see your name there? I mean, you're already saved. But this is the difference between going to the lake of fire, which is the second death. You're dead. You're not being burned or anything. It's peaceful sleep. There's a big difference between that and going to the new earth. New earth's going to be spectacular. Which would you rather? Just saying. Just asking.